In this 50th episode, we want to clarify that we have never sat in a room shirtless together, ever.
Time for the Angler Within podcast with Roy Bilby.
So here we are, episode number 50. Good milestone.
Who would have thought we'd have made it this far?
Well, we were hopeful. but we have, and we sure appreciate everybody that listens. It's growing all the time, and that's very humbling and very rewarding for both of us.
Yes.
So it's been a journey, and we're glad people have joined us for the trek.
It's been real, and it's been fun, and it's been real fun.
Yeah, yeah. Giddy up.
Get, see so what I did there? Real fun?
Yeah. Yeah. R-E-E-L.
Yeah. Pun. Doing some puns. Some puns today.
That's been real pun.
Chippa.
All right.
Before we get into your favorite moments from the last 50 episodes, which is, I'm still baffled. I'm baffled by that.
It's been a heck of a ride. It's been a blast.
And in true form, we just made everyone wait for this one. Sorry. My bad. This is my busy season. My work's been insane.
And beyond your control, too.
All the time. That's the way it goes. And we have made a pact not to ever talk about that again. But if we go a long time without putting one of these out. But in this case, because it is the 50th episode, I'm going to own that.
It bears explanation.
I'm going to own that and say, sorry, my bad. Anyway. No,
not entirely your fault.
So give us a tip for today before we get carried away.
So as we're getting into fall, which I got to tell you, I love to fish all year, but we used to call it the fall feeding binge before we even understood why it was occurring. So in our next episode, I'll save it for the next episode. I'll get into why it occurs and what's exactly going on. We'll do an episode on the fall feeding binge. The tip I want to put out now is as we're at the very cusp of entering that phase, the most important thing to me is water temperature. Now, everybody says that's so critical in the spring, and it is, because that gets them warming up, gets their metabolism going, and it gets them feeding. It does the exact same thing in the fall when it goes in the opposite direction. So that water temperature in the moving water I've been fishing, like the rivers, the streams, creeks, stuff like that, same stuff that you fish for trout, it's been hanging right at that 60, 62 degree mark. And when it drops into the 50s, that they're going to start, I mean, with the daylight, the photo period of each day getting shorter, and with the water temperature starting to noticeably drop, not inching down, but actually taking some drops, it's going to signal them. And so my best tip for today is start monitoring that water temperature. And when it dips down into like 58, 57, get out there and get after it, because the summer, that dreaded, the summer dog days, they are gone. They are history. They are in the past, and the fish are going to bite like nobody's business. So get out and take advantage of that. Now, you got a tip for everybody.
I got a tip for all the people that aren't in boats, just to go and on that, get yourself a thermometer so you can even measure the temperature anyway. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can use a pool thermometer. You can use an aquarium thermometer. I use, if I'm in one of my small boats with no electronics, I'm using a little $2 window thermometer that I remove the suction cup and tie a shoelace to it and put a bell sinker on it. And that's my high-tech water temperature gauge. And it's accurate.
He's not lying.
It's still going to give you the temperature.
I've seen this shoelace in action. Huh. I forgot all about that thing.
Yeah. Simple. $2 investment, and it's accurate. So by far, at least in this point in all the episodes we've done, my favorite by far has to be Growing Up Bilby. It was the first time we had a guest. We had my son on. You told him to think of three stories he could share that would relate what it was like to grow up under a dad who's a confirmed, unapologetic fishaholic. And there was only one story I was afraid he would tell that I didn't want him to. And of course, that's the one he opened with, because I thought it would cast me in a dim light. But you got to remember, it was, you know, almost 30 years ago. Things were different then. And yeah, it cast me in a dim light when he explains the story and what I did. But at the end of the story, I mean, he throws me under the bus, but then he pulls me out and says, not too bad, really, because this is what I learned. So this is the cut from Growing Up Bilby. So let's get into the dirt.
Well, this first story is called Cold Start.
And I was afraid of this one.
This is a good one. It's all about lessons learned. This was, yeah. I'm sure you can look back in your journal, although you might leave this part out and what you wrote down, but
I might have.
It was either the spring or the fall, but it was definitely a time of the year when you start in the morning and it's dark, it's high 30s, low 40s. It's definitely very, very cold, fog on the water. But during the day, it'll get up well into the 60s, mid 60s. You'll be in a t-shirt and it'll be warm and sunny and great. But when people are asleep and they're not thinking about how cold it is overnight, that's when we're
loading up the boat.
That's when we're at the dock and we're getting ready before anyone else is out there, and we're loading the boat. And I thought, I left my jacket at home. Oh no, I'm just wearing a light hooded sweatshirt and that's it.
How old were you?
I must have been 12 or 13.
Okay.
Old enough to know better, but I realized I forgot my jacket. I had nothing to break the wind. And I brought it up and I said, Dad, I forgot my jacket. And I think you replied something with, sounds good, grab the bow line.
Yeah.
It just didn't really compute. So I thought, well, I'm out here. I can't drive. I'm signed up for this. I'm here all day. So I got my stuff in the boat and we
took off.
Did you? I think that was that the Red Nitro?
Probably.
I think that was
at that point.
The Red Nitro era. The
first Nitro I ever had.
What was the top speed on that?
52 miles an hour.
Fast enough to know. If you've ever been on a motorcycle, it's a very similar feeling. You're totally exposed and you're out there and you're a sail for the wind. You're getting everything. And we threw everything in the boat and you fired up the motor. And to my dismay, it ran great. And we were
always did
headed across to the opposite end of the lake at full speed. Yeah. And I remember getting all that cold air. And by the time we got to the spot, I thought, I don't even know if I can really use my hands. I'm so cold. And you charge right up to the front deck, drop the trolling motor, turn on the Hummingbird, and we were off. And yep. I made a few casts and my teeth were chattering. I was hanging on by a thread and I put my rod down and sat down on the seat, which was not what my father likes to see when it's his only day off and he decides to spend all day fishing with his son and he's sitting on a seat not fishing because he forgot his jacket and he's cold. It's not the best display on my part. And
yeah, but you were a kid.
I was a kid.
You're
again
tough.
Old enough to know better. And I thought, I guess I'll just have to wait this out. I'm kind of stuck here. And fired out a couple frustrated casts and finally put the rod down and said, okay, and fired up the motor and started headed up toward the lake, back toward the boat launch. And I thought, great, maybe he'll start the truck and I can warm up. Maybe we're going to go home and get my jacket, anything.
Yeah, I know what's coming here.
And that was not what happened.
No, it's not.
You tied up the boat to the dock, which was admittedly not the worst place to fish, not what you had in mind, but you tied off the boat to the dock and said, okay, get out, run a couple laps around the parking lot and you'll warm up.
Are you, said, are serious?
You? Yes, he's serious.
That's what I asked him. Are you serious? And he said, yeah, I'm serious. And fired off a cast off the dock. And what am I going to do? So I start with little baby steps, tiny little jogs. And it's a pretty big parking lot. And I did one lap around and came around and looked as if to say, is that good? And he gave me the signal. No,
If do you another do, lap. If
you
do another
do one, lap. Are you warm two. Yet? No? Okay, keep running.
Yeah, yeah. So keep it moving. So I did two laps, and to his credit, I was warm after that. It did work. Had my hood up, had my hat on, everything I could to just batten down, and after two laps, oh, I'm feeling pretty warm. Good, hop in the boat. Fired up the motor, back down the lake again.
You get cold all over again?
It definitely didn't help, but by the time we got to the end of the lake, the sun started to come up, and that helped a bit, and I knew I was... I wasn't necessarily chained to the boat, but I didn't have anywhere else to go, and I was signed up for the day.
It was stuck for the day with dear old dad.
Yep. By the time
what lake were you on?
My shirt was black, so it did help with the sun. And once the sun came up, I thought, well, this is my lot, so I just got to take it for what it is.
What lake was that on?
Canada Rego
Lake.
You could have. I mean, you could have. It would. There were no cell phones back then. You definitely didn't have a cell phone at that point.
This is the '90s.
Yeah, '90s. Your dad wouldn't have had one yet.
No. Believe me, my mother's not about to.
And a payphone. Your mom wouldn't have drove out there. It wasn't that far out, though. Canada Rego to where you guys are is only like, what, 35 minutes?
All right. Here's my side of the story. Because when the first time we talked about this, when he was an adult and said to me, do you remember the time when? And I said, I didn't even remember. I said, I did that? He goes, yeah, you did that. You made me run laps in the parking lot, said I would warm up. He said, and I got really mad because it did warm me up. and it worked. To explain why I did what I did at the time, you have to understand that I was doing heavy construction. I was working 6 days a week. I had Sundays off. Sunday was the one day I had to live my life and do what I, you know, look forward to all week. And my family and my outdoor pursuits were my passions. And I could mix them and cram them into one day by taking my son and forcing him to fish with me for the day.
And so you'll be darned.
The way I could spend time with him doing what we both like to do. And if the conditions were bad, we just did it anyway because we weren't going to be robbed of that time.
And you were going to be darned if you were going to have your day of fishing squashed by a hypothermic child. A 13-year-old
who forgot his extra jacket. Yeah, I'm guilty.
Did you just kind of like tell yourself that he wasn't, like, what was going on in your head when you saw him and his lips were blue sitting on your seat?
I can tell you what he was thinking. We should be on that point that drops from 9 to 13 feet right now, not at the dock.
Before that sun comes up and ruins the bite. Yeah, but something like that, probably, if I had to guess, he's probably right.
Ryan, having a dad be Roy, your dad being Roy, did he make fishing not fun for you?
Absolutely, sometimes, but that was a fraction of it, because overall, looking back,
I've
heard people describe this as type A and type B fun. So type A, if I'm correct, is we went out, we caught 100 bass. It was a great day. Everything went correctly. Everything was on schedule. We left on time, did everything we wanted to. And those are the days you remember. But type B fun is when the next story I'll tell you, something bad happens. Or remember the time I forgot my jacket and I had to run laps and we got a cold start. That's type B fun. And those are the times you remember in a different way, but also in a great way, because we can look back at this now and talk about it on a podcast and laugh about it. And it's a core memory for me. And I really value and I very much cherish that time, because I'll tell you, that was the last time I ever forgot my jacket going fishing with my father.
Yeah.
Or doing anything else, most likely.
It was burned into your memory of what not to do.
Absolutely. It was a very important lesson. And again, a core memory, because at the time, I thought this is the most miserable thing I could possibly be doing. All of my friends are still wrapped up in bed and they're going to wake up and play video games, but they'll never have good memories about that. But I'll have a good memory about that day.
Of course. And
it's carried me into adulthood for sure.
Well,
yeah, I was afraid it would cast me in such a dim light. I mean, nowadays you're going to have
CPS, you know, at your door if you did that to somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, well, we're talking, you know, 30 years ago. And I was raised old school, so I raised my kids old school. That's what I knew. But the thing I like about him telling that story is I got thrown under the bus, but he actually pulled me out the other side and held me up and said, well, not too bad. Because, like he said, the best line in that whole story is, I'll tell you what, I never forgot my jacket again.
So he threw you under the bus, but he pulled you out from under the bus at the same time.
And said, not too bad. I learned from this.
Fair enough. I thought that was a great episode. I don't disagree for a best of. I don't disagree at all for that.
My wife had only listened to little excerpts from a few of our podcasts. She had not really heard it. She listened to that entire episode, and she told everybody in our family about it and got them listening. So you do what you can. Yeah, growing up Bilby, when I tell people about the podcast, I recommend they listen to that episode to get an idea of what we're about. And it was just a lot of fun hearing things from his perspective, because I know what stories he was going to tell. But another episode I really enjoyed doing was the one we called Circles of Awareness. And this is where I talked about the guy that notices a shift in the wind, or the air suddenly got cooler, or...
Why do I feel like you're taking it word for word out of the clip as you talk about it right now? Are you?
Oh, no, I'm not.
Okay.
I talk about, you know, that guy that notices these things and applies it and adjusts his fishing throughout the day to the changing conditions. But I brought up in that episode another way you can apply Circles of Awareness. I want to talk about something I've mentioned a few times called Circles of Awareness, because if you can gain Circles of Awareness, it will help you with your fishing. And what I'm talking about is the guys that notice things that other people don't necessarily pick up on, but they're recognizing them as being, if they can apply to what they see, if they can apply their approach to it, it could be advantageous in many, many situations. I talk about Circles of Awareness because when we started, I mean, I got the perfect illustration from yesterday. This is my most current one. When we first got on the water, started fishing, it was only a few hours before dusk. So we went to one of the stretches that usually produces for us that time of evening. And my buddy's starting to get bites right off the bat. He's missing fish, but he's hooking a few. And I'm using things that typically work on this lake, and they're completely getting it. I haven't even had a contact yet, and he's put three fish in the boat. So I just, when he pulls in to make another cast, I observe that he's throwing a tube. Now, I had thrown a tube also, and my grub, and I threw a jerk bait, and I'm a crank bait, and this stuff always works, but they're ignoring it. And I turned to him and I said, are you throwing that Max Scent tube again? He said, yep, that's what I've been throwing here all summer. I was throwing a Strike King Bitsy tube, which typically works great, but it doesn't have Max Scent, which is a product made by Berkley. The Max Scent stuff is incredible, people. If you haven't tried any of the Berkley Max Scent baits, do yourself a favor and get you some and get them in the water, because what the Berkley engineers did with this stuff is off the charts productive. To illustrate and quantify what I'm telling you, I did not have any of the Max Scent tubes. What I did have with me, because this is his boat, so I just threw a couple quick boxes together and took them on the fly. I packed light. But I did have Max Scent flatworms and a package of Green Pumpkin Max Scent hitworms. So what I did is I took the front half of a hitworm, cut it with scissors, and made a 2.5-inch Ned rig out of it and put it on an 1/8-ounce jig head. And this is the honest truth, everybody. My first three casts, I hooked up. And suddenly, we're even Steven. And the only thing I did was note that he was throwing Max Scent and I wasn't. and it turned the night around. By the time we were done, I had 13 fish. He had 12. We caught 25, and I mean, we stayed pretty even after that, but I stayed married to that Maxen all night. I tried a couple other products just to see, and I could not get bit. Every fish came on that Maxen. And what turned my night around was observing that he was throwing. I saw him throwing a tube. I'm throwing a tube too, but I know he's been getting into that Maxen this year. And I know what a difference it can make. I made the switch and it turned my night around. And that goes to circles of awareness. Sometimes that can be as simple as observing what your buddy's doing and making the necessary adjustments.
Yeah.
So circles of awareness doesn't have to be about environmental conditions all the time.
It can be in the boat.
It can be right in the boat. I really enjoyed that clip because it shows the other side of the circles of awareness. You got to pay attention to everything. And he was just, I was not getting bit. And he was. I'm like, all right, what do I need to change? So you look out of the corner of your eye and you see what he's throwing. I'm throwing a tube too. What's the difference? They're the same color. But then it occurred to me, he had gotten into the Maxen that year. And I said, I bet that's the only difference. And I asked him and he said, yep. That's all he said. Yep. Been using it all summer. So, usually with that Maxen, it puts a scent in the water that really pulls them in, and it's really powerful. And there's days when we can get bit on that and nothing else. And that was one of those evenings. We only fished 3 hours. We put 25 fish in the boat. So Maxen was the deal that day. And by restricting my circles of awareness to inside the boat, as you say, it turned my whole night around. It doesn't always have to be. Expand your circles of awareness and look not around the perimeter, but look inside that entire circle. Best way I can say it. Pay attention to everything. Now, the third clip I got, an episode we did with a dear friend of mine, who you also know, Nick Petru, and the episode we did with him, you titled Confessions of a Finger Lake Guide. And the thing about that episode is it has gotten us more audience because, I mean, my good friend, Mr. Globdropsky, who traveled to the grand opening to meet me and tell me how much enjoyed our podcast. And a big shout out to my buddy there. I hope you're catching him in the Finger Lakes. He did a search for podcast about the Finger Lakes, and because of the way you titled that one, it popped up, and we picked up another listener, a solid, devoted listener.
Good.
And we appreciate that.
Thanks, so, Mr. Globdropsky.
Globdropsky.
Globdropsky. Dropping globs.
Yeah, well, I like the way you stumbled over it. This is with Nick Petru.
Sometimes the only times you can catch them are on a fly rod. Second would be bluefish, just these big, giant gator bluefish. They fight so hard on a fly rod.
So saltwater, you like saltwater fish on a fly rod?
Yep, and bluegill fishing.
Those are fun. And that's fun on like a 3-weight or a 4-weight for bluegill?
Mm-hmm. Now, especially when they're up shallow, just like this time of year, just before they're getting ready to spawn, what a fun time catching bluegills on a fly rod.
I used to do that, but I did it Bill Dance style. I put an underspin reel in the reel seat of the fly rod and fish form that way with a 9.5-foot fly rod.
That's not
that counts.
Yeah,
that counts.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tell you what,
there's still a fairy wand involved.
Here's a new word, JD. I'm going to coin another term for you. Bluegill absolutely put the bawang in that fly rod.
Bawang. Bawang.
They put the bawang in it. I'm tip to butt.
Where did that word just come from?
Royce had that built up for a while. It's just like giddy up. Where does giddy up come from?
I just started saying that years ago. It just somehow became my catchphrase.
Kramer said that on Seinfeld.
He did.
Giddy
he
up. Did.
Giddy usually up. When I think things he got are it good, from me.
I would whenever Roy and I would go fish our beloved creek around school, it was usually, especially during the fall, when we'd double up on the first couple of casts for the day, we'd look to each other, give each other a fist pound, and say, giddy up. Giddy it's going to happen.
It's on. We had so many 50, 60 small.
Seven, even, I think we had one day on the clickers. I think it was like 78 between the two of us. Yeah. That was incredible. Just
it's an incredible fishery, and it turns on. They are jacked up in the fall. And I've talked about this before. It's the if you know where the wintering holes are and you understand the life cycle of smallmouth and what they do, it's a secret to any fishing. And that's what keeping a journal showed me. I've been doing it for 4 decades now, and I'm still doing it. I can't go fishing and not write it down, because then it would be the lost trip. And I learn something every time I'm out. But keeping the journal showed me these seasonal trends, and you can pattern any fish that swims by studying them and writing it down and taking notes and paying attention and being a student out there targeting specific species. And it makes you a better fisherman for that species. And even if it's multiple species, you can just be a better all-around fisherman if you study their lifestyle, study their life cycles, what their habits are, how they react to different temperatures and seasonal influences. And you can go out there and make it look easy when things line up.
Were you going for the fact that you guys ganged up on me about the fly rod, or did you want to point out the bawang?
No, I wanted to point out the bawang because you love to coin the words I come up with accidentally. That's one you, I'd always use.
You've tended to make some words, bilby-isms.
Oh, yeah, I have. Not intentionally. I usually get tongue-tied in front of the mic, and you have a tendency to leave it in the recording when I think you're going to edit it out, and it becomes a new word. So I'm interested in hearing what three clips you selected.
Well, I didn't do all my homework. I do have one ready to go that we're going to get into. This is one of my favorite openers out of all of them. It's not builded, which you think it would be. It's not builded. It is this.
Don't tell me. Let me just hear it. Well, I take care of my own feet, you know.
That, you know, the visual that you created when we got into that, because obviously these openers and these conversations showed a renaissance of types within our project, the podcast.
Yeah,
with our relationship, our friendship changing to more of a loose, really enjoyable conversation we had versus having one that was more structured, and we tried to keep it, you know, serious the whole time.
Right.
So you know, it became a thing where I became, you know, you're the straight man, I'm the color commentary, but also I like to include people in my daily life as part of this podcast.
Oh,
I like to get into stuff. And when you got into the discussion about how your staple is to go buy a new pair of white shoes, to
and
walk around
in
your and new socks to walk around on. For people who haven't met you or haven't seen you, just the theater of the mind that describes this, you know, I mean, you're like, you know, you're 5'8", right?
Well, I'm 5'6".
You're 5'6". Thank you. You're 5'6". This time I'm giving you more height than what you are versus before when I said you were, what, 5'4"?
Yeah. You're 2 inches either side.
Yeah, you know, Roy's he's a,
give or take.
He's a small guy. He's got big personality though. No, but he I'm picturing you. Were they Rockports? What kind of white shoes did you pick up?
I'm just buying white sneakers, like
what
New
kind?
Balance or
New Balance. You didn't get Rockports though.
No.
No, they weren't like the old people's shoes.
No.
They were no. But they were
not,
you know.
Yeah.
Not yet. That'll be coming up soon. But I'm just picturing you in these like Mickey Mouse white shoes, just like the white feet walking around in that boat. And I crack up every time. I've listened to that episode a few times because I like to show that one off. Someone, one of our new listeners told me about how hard she laughed when you went into that story about how you take care of your own feet. Because I had gotten a pedicure
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Those moments that we have apparently are really making the masses, gives them a warm fuzzy, I guess. Or it gets them laughing really hard, which is one or the other. Have you heard about that red is the worst color to wear fishing?
The worst color to wear?
Yeah.
What do I care what I'm wearing?
Well, because the fish, I guess the fish can see red on the, can see the red up. If you look up and see, they can see it red. They can see red.
I know they can see red. It's one of the most visible colors to them.
Are they seeing red when they're angry? Seeing red?
Well,
I'm full of them today.
That's why they came out with the water camo. Like Real Tree and Mossy Oak have come out with camouflage, the blue camouflage water patterns. And a lot of guys are wearing that because you blend with the water and with the sky. And so there probably is something to that. I just wear neutral colors, but when we're competing, we're wearing our jerseys, and mine is white, and it matches my boat, matches the color schemes on my boat. I put fish in the boat, so I don't worry too much about what I'm wearing. But I don't know, I wore a lot of red caps in my day. A
lotter.
And I'll have to check the journal. Well, I never said which hat I was wearing, so that wouldn't work. I have to start paying attention, wearing red hats intentionally, and see if it makes a difference on the outcome.
Here's another intro that I like. Spell Krej.
K-R-E-J.
Okay.
It's jerk spelled backwards. No, because... No, listen to this. Listen to this.
Those moments that we have.
Yeah.
You know, because... It's just fun because you hammer the scientific straightforward side of these, and you're so serious explaining these. No, seriously now. Seriously. Yeah. No. Yeah.
But it is the word jerk spelled backwards because it's a jerk bait that goes backwards. And that's just genius marketing. You know, I thought it was a Russian name when they came out with the Krej. And then I watched the video and they said it's jerk spelled backwards. Because our jerkbait goes backwards. And I tell you what, I've been using it and I've been catching them on it. It is such a thrill to catch them on that because any other lure I've got, I'm working it and trying to trigger a bite by the way I'm working it. That one works itself when you kill it. And when you kill it, you just wait and they slam it. And it is the coolest thing because I'm not doing anything. The lure's doing it itself, and I just get such a kick out of that. I've been catching smallmouth on it, and it's a blast to fish. I built a garage.
You built it?
Yeah. All right. You built it?
No, we're leaving this in.
Yeah. Yo, I'm leaving this in.
Yeah, that's one of my other favorite parts about this is getting to leave stuff in.
You have control.
That's right. That you think should be removed.
Yeah.
I
assume that you will.
I am grateful that you have learned to trust my opinions on that stuff as to what stuff should stay and what stuff should go.
100%, JD. 100%.
Now, one thing that we never really got into again with anyone, and we're going to let you guys in on a secret. Some of you have figured it out. Some of you know this. Some of you don't. Roy and I are not in the same room together. Roy is 40 minutes up the road from where I am in his house, and I am in my house, and through the magic of technology, it sounds like we're in the same room together, but we're not. So we accidentally created a theater of the mind vision for folks when we were during the heat spells, when we were talking about being shirtless.
Oh, yeah, and when it was hot.
And it was just a matter of, you know, I was in my house by myself in the dark, mind you. Usually... Sometimes I don't even have my camera on while we're talking. It just depends on the night. Sometimes I have it off. Sometimes Roy has. You've always had yours on, but sometimes I have mine off. It's just funny because we made some people think that we were sitting shirtless together in a room, and we never were. That never happened. Just so we're clear. We're clear. In this 50th episode, we want to clarify that
we're
we have never sat in a room shirtless together, ever. No. Nor will we ever, likely, unless it's a game.
No intention whatsoever.
Unless we're losing bets, I don't see that. I don't see that happening. My favorite part about doing the podcast is getting to choose what the opening line is going to be.
Yeah, and when you started doing that, I was like, that is so cool. I every episode we record, the first thing I listen for is that intro. I'm like, what clip did he use? You know, and you
trying to
always,
guess it.
You always nail it.
Do you ever guess it right, or do you not usually get it right for what I'm going to put in there?
Most times I don't get it right, and your choice is better. Your choice is better, hands down. And yeah, don't ever let me do that, because you got a knack for it.
I won't. I also won't. I usually won't remove things when you tell me to remove them either. I've some stuff I removed. If it, yeah. You know, I don't want to hurt your feelings either. But
I'm over that. It's part of the beauty of the relationship and the chemistry we've formed, and that's the beauty.
There was one time that you got a little irritated, and you shot back at me because I came back with the feedback about when you wouldn't tell what the jig was that you're using with the speed shad.
And yeah, we had but to I should have.
I know. I know. But that night. You got a little bit irked over it. You're like, well, I got some feedback, and people don't want to hear about us having our shirts off.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah, well, the jerk store called, and they're running out of you. You know what I mean? That was what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
Another Seinfeldism. But no. Hey, Roy, happy 50th episode.
Yeah, same to you, JD, and looking forward to the next 50. There's nobody I'd rather do this with. You're the one who opened the door for me on this project, and I am loving every minute of it, and I can't thank you enough. Our relationship has grown. You're catching more fish, and we're basically just having a blast with it. Despite some of the hardships and difficulties we've had trying to get on this same night to record.
That's always the biggest thing. I mean,
that's the biggest challenge.
I have an active schedule. You're retired.
But I'm very active.
Yes, and your availability goes up and down too. Mine often comes down to whether or not sometimes we have a night set and I'm just too tired. That's,
right, because you want to be at 100%.
I do.
Appreciate that. Our listeners do too, because we want to give them 110%.
110%.
Every episode.
Every episode.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
So we can help them tap into their
angler within.
Giddy up.